cities.
Yes. That's why all the things are broken in this country, because no one ever loosens them.
And you can't buy new washers for those.
Excuse me?
I don't think you can buy new washers for those. Like, what's it?
You can find lots of garbage chargers through the north fence. Loosen this, and then move it.
I was going to do it.
Excuse me?
I was going to do it.
Oh, good.
As it is, chapter 9, text 16. Aham.
Mantra.
Transcendental chant.
Transcendental chant.
Agnihi.
Agnihi.
Fire.
Fire.
Ahom.
Ahom.
Putam.
Putam.
Offering.
Offering.
But it is I who am the ritual, I the sacrifice, the offering to the ancestors, the healing herb, the transcendental chant. I am the butter and the fire and the offering. The Vedic sacrifice known as Jyotishkama is also Krishna, and he is also the Panigatya mentioned in the Smriti. The oblations offered to the Pitraloka, or the sacrifice performed, please the Pitraloka, considered as a kind of drug in the form of clarified butter, is also Krishna. The mantras chanted in this connection are also Krishna. And many other commodities made with milk products for offering in the sacrifices are also Krishna. Fire is also Krishna, because fire is one of the five material elements and is therefore claimed as the separated energy of Krishna. In other words, the Vedic sacrifices recommended in the Karmakanda division of the Vedas are in total also Krishna. Or, in other words, those who are engaged in rendering devotional service unto Krishna are to be understood to have performed all the sacrifices recommended in the Vedas. Om Makyan Timirakasya Vedan Vedan Sulakaya Shakshur Vidhitam Vedana Tasmai Shri Gurudeva Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutane
said that all of the elements, all of the components, all of the ingredients of sacrifice are identical with Brahma, or the Absolute. Brahma, the offering, the Brahma, Brahmatma, the fire, Brahma, the offering, the destination, everything is finally not different from Brahma. And Krishna himself is the supreme Brahma. Paramatma, 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 Paramatma. So the same thing is being said here, that all these ingredients or elements are finally nothing but Krishna. Because Vasudeva Sarvam, Krishna is everything. It's indicated also that the purpose of all the Vedas is to understand Krishna. And I should survive Vasudeva Paradeva. The purpose of the Vedas is to understand Krishna. The purpose of sacrifices is to please Krishna. The goal of the entire Vedic enterprise is to be reconnected with Krishna and go back to Krishna. So Krishna is here focusing our attention on him. Aham. How many times? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times in the verse. Krishna says, me. So the central focus of Bhagavad Gita is Krishna. The central focus of Vedic knowledge is Krishna. The central focus of everything is Krishna. And here Krishna is pointing that out. The Prabhupada people become more interested in the rituals and the sacrifices and the mantras and, as if they were those for goals themselves. Or as if, yes, simply by performing these rituals they will attain perfection. But Krishna here indicates that the point of all of this is him. Aham means Krishna. Any questions so far? Okay. We'll look at the next verse.
Yes, you have a question too. We have that word microphone.
Yeah, I was looking for it also. It's not there.
And
it may not come from Prabhupada, also a lot of the things in the verses of Prabhupada, because it is, they're sometimes borrowed from other editions.
What would be the import of Prabhupada using that?
Why, excuse me?
Why, what is the import of Prabhupada saying?
But that's what I'm saying. It may not have come from Prabhupada. Some of these things are editorial artifacts because sometimes the editors borrow from other editions of Bhagavad Gita. So I have to look at the manuscript and see whether Bhag came from Prabhupada or Bhag came from the editor. I suspect the editor. Not to be suspicious, but I suspect that that's the answer. There is no Bhag here. Anything else? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pitāmāma śrīdhagato mātā hāta pitāmāma vējyam vidhitrāṁ omkāra vitsāma vitureyata. I am the father of this universe, the mother, the support, and the grandsire. I am the object of knowledge, the purifier, and the syllable Om. I am also the Rig, the Sama, and the Ajurvedas. Purport. The entire cosmic manifestations, moving and not moving, are manifested by different activities of Krishna's energy. In the material existence, we create different relationships with different living entities who are nothing but Krishna's marginal energy. Under the creation of Prakriti, some of them appear as our father, mother, grandfather, creator.
actually they are parts and parcels of Krishna. As such, these living entities who appear to be our father, mother, etc., are nothing but Krishna. In this verse, the word Hata means creator. Not only are our father and mother parts and parcels of Krishna, but the creator, grandmother, and grandfather, etc., are also Krishna. Actually, any living entity being part and parcel of Krishna is Krishna. All the Vedas, therefore, aim only toward Krishna. Whatever we want to know through the Vedas is but a progressive step toward understanding Krishna. That subject matter which helps us purify our constitutional position is especially Krishna. Similarly, the living entity who is inquisitive to understand the all Vedic principles is also part and parcel of Krishna, and as such is also Krishna. In all the Vedic mantras, the word Om, called Pranava, is a transcendental vibration and is also Krishna. And because in all the hymns of the four Vedas, Sama, Yajur, Rig, and Atharva, the Pranava, or Omkar, is very prominent, it is understood to be Krishna. Generally we hear about the difference between Krishna and living entities. But here, unusually, Srila Prabhupada stresses the oneness of the Lord and his energies. We mentioned yesterday, Shakti Shakti Mateyarati. There's no difference between the energy and the source of the energy. Just as there's no difference between the sunshine and the sun, or between fire and even mind. So, because everything is the energy of Krishna, Parasya Brahman Shakti, everything is ultimately Krishna. There's a nice discussion in regard to the Rupa Goswami's definition of Krishna in he says that Krishna means Krishna along with his energies. Because you can define Krishna in various ways. Starting from Krishna means only Krishna, all the way up to Krishna means everything. So in that sense, in the broadest sense, Krishna says, Mama Vartmana Vartmante, Mama Vartmana Vartmante, and Siyama Vartmasarva. Everyone is engaged in the path toward me, or everyone's following my path, or everyone's moving toward me, because everyone is Krishna. You're serving your parents, you're serving Krishna, you're serving your children, you're serving Krishna, you're serving your boss, Krishna, your country, Krishna, your stomach, Krishna. Your tongue, Krishna, your everything. Everyone is serving Krishna. The people who are souls, who are serving the zoo animals, are also serving Krishna. Everyone is serving Krishna. But because whatever they're serving is Krishna's energy. So there's no difference between Krishna and Krishna's energy, so they're also serving Krishna. So here that oneness is indicated. But at the same time, that's where Prabhupada points out that there's a difference also. There's a difference between serving my family and serving the Supreme Personality of God. Yes, there's a difference. There's a difference between serving my boss and serving the Supreme Personality. There's a difference between feeding the birds and feeding the bees. And at the same time, there's no difference. This is the completeness of Krishna consciousness. That Krishna is everywhere, Krishna is everything. at the same time, we think, well, Krishna's everywhere, Krishna's everything, whatever I do, that's Krishna consciousness. No, then the definition of Krishna is made more explicit. Krishna means Krishna and his different Krishna forms. That you don't want a definition that's so broad that everything becomes Krishna consciousness. And you don't want a definition that's so tight that Krishna consciousness becomes very limited and restricted. So the devotee sometimes sees one way, sometimes the other. Just like sometimes Krishna says, I have the taste of water. So water is everywhere, and the light of the sun and the moon, sunlight and moonlight are everywhere. So when can you forget Krishna? Krishna is always there. And still, another way, if we're simply attracted by the sun, the moon, the water, then we're missing the point. One time, one devotee, Ray Rama, told me that he came down to Sri Prabhupada and said, Oh Swamiji, there's such a beautiful sunset. You should come see. And Prabhupada said, as long as you're attracted by the beauty of the sunset, you'll never be attracted to Krishna. He could have gone the other way and said, yes, the sunset is simply the a manifestation of Krishna's beauty. But on that occasion, he chose to say, you're just attracted by mine. Just the display of material energy. So there's oneness and there's distinction. Also, the person who's attracted by the material energy is also attracted by Krishna. But still, the Vedic literature doesn't recommend that we become attracted by the material energy. Some distinction. But Krishna says, I'm the father of this entire universe, Pitaha Masubhavita. Elsewhere, Aham Bija Pitaha. I'm the seed giving father of all living beings. He impregnates the material nature. Everyone says, Mother Nature. So one time someone asked Prabhupada in a challenging way one day, sir, can you prove that there is God? Sort of puffed up Western educated Indian intellectual. Sir, can you prove that there is God? Prabhupada said, you do not know what is God. No, can you prove by logic that there is God? That was it. Can you prove by logic that there is God? No, you do not know what is logic. Then again, the man said, sir, by logic, can you prove that there is God? Probably. And you do not know what is logic. Then, third time, you do not know what is logic. Then Prabhupada said, there's Mother Nature, and there are living entities, children, therefore there must be a father. That's logic now taken. That is. We say Mother Nature, and we're all children of Mother Nature. What don't you think there must be a father there? But Krishna says, I'm that father. I'm Eve. And Mata, I'm also the mother. The material nature is also nothing but Krishna. She is Krishna's energy. The father. Krishna is the father, he's also the mother. Or, when to give birth to Brahma, he didn't rely on Lakshmi, he himself became both the father and the mother. So, Mata and Pata, the creator, but Brahma is also called Pata. And Pitama, the grandfather. From one point of view, he's the grandfather of the whole universe. He is the father of the father, a great grandfather also, Prapitana. And from another point of view, our mother, our father, our grandfathers are also Krishna. They represent Krishna. In the Vedic culture, the superiors are considered representatives of Krishna. The king is represented. Even if you look back just a few hundred years, people had that sense that the king was God to Krishna. They would, all this honor given to the king was given in the spirit that he's God's representative. And the king, in better days, would accept the honor in the spirit that he was simply representing God, the way the spiritual master represents God. I'm not God, but I'm God's representative who brings someone. This is probably a good example in India during the British Raj. There was a viceroy. So the viceroy would accept various presentations or honors, but they were all meant for the king. So the, from that point of view, or another point of view, anyone who's become the king, it's understood and president, that is by the grace of God. By God's arrangement, he's placed in that post. So the king is respected as God's representative. The father is respected as God's representative. In the Vedic culture, just as we offer obeisances to the deity, people offer respect to their parents. Yudhisthira Maharaj, every day after, before mantra, I suppose, but especially after extension, he would preach the Lord. Every day, it was his routine to offer his respects to Dhritarashtra and Gandhara. They were like his parents. And brother, Dhritarashtra was the brother of his father. So every day he would offer, touch their feet and offer his respects. Because the superiors are representatives of Krishna. Krishna, even it said, Aditi Devo. In the Vedic culture, the uninvited guest is treated as God. Because God has come in that form, that is to say, God has sent such and such guests, or this guest is the representative of God. So, Aditi Devo. Not that the guest is the Supreme Personality of God. Not the Mayavadi philosophy. That I am God, you are God, everyone is God. But at the same time, because we're all parts and parcels of God, so then we're also God. It says, my finger is also my hand. Because it's part of the hand. But it's not that the finger is the whole hand. So in the same way, there's oneness and difference between the Lord and the living entities. Vedya. The Lord is what it is, what's to be known by the Vedic process. Vedaisya sarvaram eva Vedya means what we have to know. So Vedya and Pavitram. The Lord is the supreme purifier. Pavitram paramahama. He is the purest of pure, and he purifies also. One becomes purified, therefore, by the holy name of Krishna. Krishna is pure, like the sun. The sun purifies whatever it comes in touch with. There's so many dirty places that they become sterile by the presence of the sun. So, pavitra, Krishna is pure. Devam pavitra and omkar. The omkar is also the representative of Krishna. It's Krishna in the form of the sound vibration. Pranava sarva vedeshu. Elsewhere, the word says, I'm the sound of pranava. Pranava is another name of omkar. In all the Vedic mantras. Mayavadi philosophers have emphasized various slogans like Padmasi, Ahampanasi, as being the Mahavakyas, the big mega statements in the Vedas. But actually, the most important vibration of the Vedas is this Omkar. In every Vedic mantra, Om Purnamada Purnamidam, Om Kadvishnu Paramam Kadam Sada Pashanti Suveha, Om Pavitra Pavitravam Sarvavasam Kodhida. Wherever there's chanting of mantras, Om must always be there. And therefore, by chanting the Vedic hymns, whether one is directly addressing Krishna or addressing the demigods, Om Namo Shivaya, one has to vibrate Om. That means vibrating the sound that represents Krishna. Krishna is the, yes, Akshara is another, Aksharanam, yes, the Akshara means this transcendental sound. It also represents Krishna. And Rikshami Yajuri Devacha, the Krishna says, I'm the Vedas themselves. Your three Vedas are mentioned, Prabhupada adds the fourth one. They all represent Krishna. Any questions?
As we tell people, they can chant any name of God, they can also chant Om, correct?
Yeah. People can also chant Om. That's also purifying. But the trouble is that people generally, by chanting Om, remain situated in a personal conception. Prabhupada said that the Om also addresses Krishna, but impersonally. Just like you address the president, Mr. President. And that's also legitimate. But that's not personal. Mr. President could be Mr. Obama, it could be Mr. Clinton, it could be Mr. Bush, it could be Mr. whoever the head of France is today. It could be so many people. But if you say Barack or Mr. Obama, that's personal. So all Omkar is official. And Krishna is personal. Therefore, the persons prefer to chant all. And we prefer to chant Hare Krishna.
I was staying at the new devotee's house last week, and I was singing your japa. And between each round she was chanting, Om Shri.